thank God we've got something different. Even if it's not necessarily better, like, and maybe it is, I don't know, but, like, the game has changed so much, it was certainly time for a new ball.
Yeah. All right, what do you think? Jump right in.
Pickle pod, let's go. What the hell is that?
The pickleball box, baby. Play better, look better, feel better. Had I not read it off, I wouldn't even have remembered what that is.
It looks pretty slick. It's nicely packaged.
Oh, I forgot. That's because you weren't there when I read through it and like went through the whole box.
I was not.
But yeah, man, I won't. We won't dwell on that. I think we gotta jump in here. Happy New Year. We have somebody sitting slightly off camera here. Hired him 2 hours ago. So welcome to the team, Canton. Half the hype guys.
Life is good, boys. Glad to be here.
Let's go.
We instructed him very clearly that the more he laughs at our bad jokes, the better. It's like a sitcom where the crowd laughs and, you know, you cue them to laugh and then it enriches the experience, right? Makes us look funnier.
I'm excited. He's now a podcast hyper.
Podcast hyper all day. This is going to be an interesting ride with you guys.
He's going to walk us through the topics. You know, Luke at Tennis Sucks. He's a full-time employee of the Dink, but I couldn't even get him to do that for us. His allegiance lies with Tennis Sucks. So we went and got our own Luke for this pod, and Canton will be here for the foreseeable future. So
Canton's going to get his name legally changed to Jamie.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no.
There's one of those bad jokes.
No, no, no. Well, that was a good one.
He's already... Have you signed the paperwork with this guy? Can we fire him or what?
No, yeah, you better be careful, dude. I won't countersign. Anytime... It's official. Anytime we walk into the studio, as soon as we enter the doors, it's Jamie, not Canton.
Just for this studio. All right, perfect. That works for me.
All right, cool. Do you want to do the Stop Alzheimer Awareness... give results for
just quickly, you know, we've talked about it a bunch. They're we work with them on the podcast a little bit, but we did our year-end big give and we were able to raise almost $200,000 for Alzheimer's research. And so that money is going to go to fund somewhere between 2 and 4 research grants, which is pretty awesome. So Altoff and I, well, mostly me, to be honest, raised $65,000. And then we had an individual matching as well as a corporate match. Since I raised more money than Altoff, Altoff is supposed to get on social media, record himself singing I'm a little teacup in a pink tutu. But there is 0% chance he actually does this.
No, he has to do it.
He's not going to. He's too much of a wuss.
Also, I'm surprised you beat him. He doesn't just go to his like clients and say, hey, toss in a little bit here.
Oh, for sure. I thought he was going to be a formidable opponent, but I had him beat by like, I think like $40,000, something like that. So yeah, he deserves some public shaming, but also I said this in a post too, but I've been able to do a lot of really cool stuff as a result of pickleball. I got to, you know, go with the Orlando Squeeze owners, sit courtside at a Magic game. I played pickleball at the New York Stock Exchange. But I would say that people rallying behind this has got to be one of the coolest things I've been able to do. Mm-hmm. People reaching into their pockets and giving to research is, I think, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had a really good turnout with it, and we're going to try and... We're certainly going to do it again next year, and we're going to keep fucking swearing for the swear jar. We still have the swear jar.
Yeah. Jamie, you got to look into that, see if this hurts our monetization.
We'll do.
Figure that out.
Yep. So,
but cool. All right. Congrats to you guys and Stop Alzheimer's Now. Sounds like it was super successful. We talked about last episode paddle giveaway for a commenter who leaves a comment on the pod, likes the episode, and subscribes to the channel. That extends to this episode and one more episode beyond that. So a lot of good comments. We'll read the best ones next episode, but that still stands. And that is what, your signature paddle?
Yeah, basically anything that we can expand that to more or less any Pro XR paddle. So okay. a Pro XR paddle of your choosing, we can make it happen. So we got the new white and pink standard versions. There's the blue ones, squeeze ones. There's all types of stuff.
White and pink. I thought we were outlawing white.
It's white edge guards only. So okay. It looks pretty sweet.
Pink paddle. Okay. What do we got for the first topic, Jamie?
Well, first topic, new year, balls drop. There seems to be two new balls coming into the market. Let's chat a little bit about the Vulcan ball and then the Owl ball with the APP. What do you guys think?
I think you're going to make somebody's ears bleed when your voice come on.
I also like the balls drop that, you know, for 12-year-olds yeah, like me, nice. That was funny.
Well, that was the new year. It's a double entendre, triple entendre.
Yeah, that's why, that's why you hired him, right?
Yes, exactly. He's smart. He's witty like that.
Was that intentionally witty, or was that...
There was a little brainstorming here while you guys were still talking on that last one, yeah.
Love it. He's going to take credit for it. I don't think he did it on purpose.
But yeah, all right. So PPA switching to Vulcan. Have you ever played with this Vulcan ball before?
I've played with it for the last 2 days.
Okay. What do you think?
First off, I'm so glad that we're getting rid of the Dura color. The Dura color sucks. Like
the faded yellow.
Yeah. Why not make it... It's more of a neon green.
Right.
So that's a big... Easy, I feel like, low-hanging fruit on any ball. Mm. Pretty much any ball should be that color.
Okay.
In terms of play, it's kind of tough to say because I've played with it twice. It's been cold here in Austin.
Yeah.
So that obviously affects how the ball plays.
Right.
But first off, I think I've been around pickleball for 10 years at this point, and the Dura has been the ball for all 10 years, and the Dura has been the same exact ball for 10 years.
Right, no innovation.
Like, thank God we've got something different. Even if it's not necessarily better, like, and maybe it is, I don't know, but, like, the game has changed so much, it was certainly time for a new ball.
Yeah.
What about you? You hit with it at all?
No, I haven't even seen one.
Okay.
The V Pro outdoor ball. I don't know what it's like. Can you, when you look at it, does it look like any other ball? Like, what does it feel like, look like the most? What would you compare it to?
Yeah. So, again, this is slightly hard to answer because we've been playing in cold weather. But I would say when you're dinking, it feels relatively soft. It's got good feel to it. Something that John Cincola and I spoke about was, it feels like it has a true hit to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hit a Dura, you can hit the ball the exact same way twice, and you can get different hits as a result of it. You can have different outcomes. So far, it feels like that's not the case with this ball.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem to go out of round after a game and a half or so and get some bad bounces and whatnot. I guess PPA is changing balls every game now, which, again, that's a, you know, it just feels like a no-brainer.
Will they still pre, like, churn them up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, so if people don't know, the Duros that they play with on, or that they did play with on the PPA, they would, like, pre-wear them in, right? So it wasn't always just, like, a shiny new ball.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause a shiny new ball plays different than something that's been used, even like a match, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the ball changes so much based on how much has been used and the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, it is pretty poppy. Like, again, this could be a factor of we're playing in cold weather and the ball is harder.
Right.
But it was pretty tough to drop. The ball rockets off the paddle pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could see more driving, more crashing, less long dinking points, which I think everybody would be, I won't say everybody, I think the vast majority of people would be excited to not see long dinking points if the ball continues to play the way that it has in my limited experience.
If the ball is faster, right? So Dura is, I think, it plays the fastest, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the least forgiving. Wouldn't that lead to more quick exchanges, but shorter quick exchanges, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've spoken about it a little bit, but the faster the ball is, the more you have to be careful with what you speed up.
Yeah.
If you speed up poorly, it's going to get shoved down your throat, basically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how this plays from the kitchen. Meaning, like, from the baseline, we're finding that it's really advantageous to drive the ball. Okay. From the kitchen, we haven't had very many kitchen rallies with it.
Yeah.
So it seems faster in the quick exchanges, but then slower in the dink exchanges in a weird, weird way. But, again, this could be playing with it twice in 45 degrees.
Yeah, all right. Well, so they didn't spend nothing for this deal. All right, it was somewhere between $2 and $3 million, I hear, for just the single year. And a royalty on sales.
Yeah. Did you you guys reported an 8% royalty?
Yeah. So I heard that from Jimmy Miller. I hadn't heard anything about the royalties. What I had heard was it was between $2 and $3 million and it was for the single year. I didn't know that there was also a royalty on sales, which is pretty interesting. I mean, that could be a big number.
Think about it. The only reason, I'm convinced, the only reason anybody ever uses a Dura was because it was the ball that you had to use. Definitely. Nobody was like, oh, I love the Dura better than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, no, the ball cracks three games, goes out around. Right. Like, you only use it because you had to. Like, I'm assuming this is more or less the end of the Dura. This ball takes over. If PPA is making 8% of every ball, and these balls are relatively expensive.
Yeah.
$4
a ball.
Yeah. $4.16.
Holy crap. And that, what if you buy 100 of them? Is it the same? Or like what? What's, I'm is sure. that in the, like the 10 pack or something?
I'm sure there's some sort of discount. But where did I hear? I heard on Tennis Sucks, I think, that Vulcan then like hit up all the pros to buy balls instead of like giving them balls, which is funny to me. Got to start making some of that money back.
Did you get an email?
I did. Yeah. Surprisingly. Yeah. I did. I purchased some balls. I think I purchased like 20 or something.
Really?
Now I have a bunch. Yeah.
Interesting. I guess it makes sense that you have to go buy the balls, but like you would think they would provide most of the top pros with balls to practice with.
They gave us 4.
Oh, okay. All right.
They gave us 4 free balls.
Yeah, yeah. All right, there you go. That's better than nothing.
Now I got to figure out if anybody's in the market for some Duras. I have a bunch of new ones. I am selling them at bargain prices.
I'm just thinking of like all the people around the country who have these massive bins of Duras, and now they need to just go buy new balls.
For sure. Right?
Like who's going to play with Dura anymore for any reason?
I think
tournaments actually are going to use Dura? There's no incentive to.
Is USAP still going to be Dura? But
I don't
Franklin
know.
Kind of.
I think USA Pickleballs has Franklin now. I don't know.
They had it for Nationals. I don't know if it's like, you know, their Midwest Regional or whatever is going to be. I don't know that.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so this deal was definitely, I know firsthand, shown to other ball manufacturers. And those other ball manufacturers said, no way are we matching that deal. No way we're going to beat that deal. Go for it. Good luck.
Who else would be? I'm sort of surprised that it's not Selkirk, to be honest.
I'm sure Selkirk, Franklin, Onyx, which is the manufacturer of Dura, all had a look at this deal and were given a chance to beat it.
But with PPA being so close with Selkirk, I'm really, really surprised that this didn't end up being a Selkirk deal.
Right.
I mean, Selkirk spends Selkirk lights money on fire with their whole roster. Like they've spent so much money. Like you'd think they just freed up Tyson.
Right.
They take that and go over to the ball. Like it's very surprising. I would have put Selkirk as the big, big favorite in coming in and being the official ball.
Yeah. I don't know. But like, okay, so if I'm Vulcan and I'm introducing this ball, I want it to be the next big thing. If I'm sponsoring the Pro Tour, that means I'm going after the segment of the market that's the most avid pickleballers. Those are also the pickleballers who are the toughest to get to because they're marketed different brands all day long, right? the reason why these avid pickleballers will buy the Vulcan is because, well, now the PPA is playing with it, so they will want to play with those, especially if they're going to compete in tournaments. But after that 1 year is up, if they don't renew, now their core customer base says, oh, I don't need Vulcans anymore, and they move on to the next thing. To me, there's like a big risk on the tail end of signing this deal. And you paid a huge sum up front to go after that segment of the market. It doesn't solve for, you know, like Franklin's dominance on Amazon, for example, right? You type in pickleball, Franklin's the first one to come up. Onyx Dura, they're in retail. Even Head Pen is in retail, mm-hmm. right? So to me, Vulcan still has to, I don't know, figure out other ways to market this ball besides just like sponsoring a pro tour, and understand that once this deal is up, there's no allegiance from that segment of the market that they initially targeted.
Yeah, and it's a little weird too, because it's not like Vulcan is a serious paddle brand, of course. You know what? I was gonna go with the, I don't know if they have the relationships with as many like pro shops. But I do think that they're pretty big in baseball. I think they might have relationships with some
Franklin
major...
or Vulcan?
Vulcan.
Yeah, okay.
Vulcan. Let me Google this real quick.
Franklin's a baseball company.
Franklin is a
baseball
company.
Those Pro XR, right? Isn't that where they came from? They were baseball.
Yeah, that's where Pro XR came
from.
Kind
of interesting we're seeing all these like baseball brands come over.
I could have sworn Vulcan... Maybe it's a different company that they're like, they work. Oh, yeah, there is baseball there. They make some baseball stuff. I don't really.
They have a parent company that does.
Grips. Not Vulcan baseball grips.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
They have bat grips. So maybe they do have some of these relationships already through that. I don't know. But
yeah.
Otherwise, that's going to be tough. If they sell. They'll have to sell $750,000 balls at $4 a ball, and that's not including any expenses to break even on that sponsorship.
Mm.
So three quarters of a million balls.
It's a bold play. Okay, so then APP signs this Owl Ball. I thought they were just a quiet paddle company.
Yeah, is the ball quiet too?
Like, yeah, I wonder. I actually don't know the answer to that, but I would assume that would be part of their shtick, right?
I've read it's just the paddle. The ball is the same. It's still hard.
Right.
Owl seems to be spending a lot of money. I mean, they got McEnroe to endorse their product. I don't know if he's an endorser or if he's an investor, but like they're really coming in here guns blazing.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if their paddle has been received super well. I mean, I think their play is just sell them in bulk to clubs around the country who want to keep things quiet, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like I'm definitely not going to go buy an Owl paddle unless they come out with something that's like cutting edge.
Mm-hmm. So can I go play with an Owl paddle in a pro event, or is it just
I assume it's USA Pickleball approved.
Well, it's USA Pickleball approved under some other... I thought it was USA Pickleball approved under some like noise ordinance rules.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I'd be very curious. Can you go play the PPA, MLP, APP with a Owl paddle?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll have to get the answer.
I assume you can play on APP given this deal.
It is weird though. If you hit against it, it just kind of makes the same noise regardless of how hard you hit it. Everything sort of sounds like a dink. So if you take a full swing at it and you hit it really hard, it sounds like a dink. If you hit a dink, it sounds like a dink.
Yeah.
So it just makes everything sort of sound the same, which makes it really hard to sort of pick up on how fast the ball is going.
Yeah, so to me, the ball plays a huge difference in the way matches are played. And I'm always intrigued by the fact that when I bring that up in like casual rec play, other people don't seem to think about that too often, right? Like, I know very well, as soon as I hit the ball without even looking at it, if somehow in the midst of play, you know, like a Franklin went out of bounds and all of a sudden somebody grabbed a Dura on the side, and I go, whoa, hold on a second, right? To me, there's a massive difference. Now we've got to worry about playing with I want to play with a Vulcan. I want to have experience if I'm going to go play at PPAs. I'm going to want to play with the Owl Ball if I'm going to be playing APPs. I'm still, my favorite ball is the Franklin X40. I actually liked playing with Duras. And that's what I have. I have a shit ton of Duras and Franklins. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just a big change. I mean, it used to just be you either play with Franklin X40 or the Dura Fast 40. Those
pretty
are the
much
two balls. And if anybody brought something else, I'd be like, get this disgusting shit out of here. And I'd like literally throw it and be like, never do that again.
You ever play with a Jugs ball?
No.
Lucky you. They used to have indoor tournaments on Jugs balls, which was like the squishiest ball with the biggest holes in it. And they would last forever.
Like a rubber ball.
It's still plastic, but it's much, much softer plastic. Those were brutal. I liked the Onyx Fuse and the Pure 2. Those were solid. The good news is about the Vulcan ball, we've played the last 2 days and not broke one. A couple of them went out around, but then they kind of went back.
Which is saying a lot in this temperature.
In 45 degrees, we would have, over the last 2 days, playing with Thomas Wilson and Dekel Barr.
Right.
We legitimately probably would have broken 20 to 30,
yeah,
I would guess.
Especially if it's a Dura.
If it was with the Dura, we would have broken 20 to 30 over the last
few
days.
Yeah, as soon as it gets to like 60 degrees, if you're playing with Duras, like you're going to be breaking them.
Mm-hmm.
We try and play in Michigan. As long as the court's clear, as long as there's no snow on the ground, it's not wet, like we'll play. But as soon as it's in like 50s, I mean, you literally can't even play with Dura. Like the ball breaks every point. Mm-hmm. You have to play with Franklins or something softer.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned that when you're playing with other people, some of them don't even know. How much do you feel like the ball affects the outcome of a shot? Meaning, like, so if you're 3-0, you might not even notice it, but obviously at the highest level, you're noticing it. I'm curious what you think. How much does, if you hit the same exact shot with a Dura versus a Franklin, how much is the difference in your mind?
The difference is most apparent on two shots, the drive and the third shot. With a Franklin X40, I feel like I don't miss a third. It's so soft, I drop it right in there every time. Anytime I go from playing from a Dura to a Franklin, I feel like I'm 10% better.
You feel like a million bucks,
way
don't
more
you?
Consistent, yeah. And then on the drive, like I can absolutely rip a Dura. If I catch it clean, like it's going to be tough for that person to get it back. Mm-hmm. Not the same with the Franklin. Just takes a little bit off of it. Ball's a little softer, more forgiving. It's easier to defend.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two moments where I notice it the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spin wise, I don't know that I notice much of a difference.
Yeah, I feel like if you hit the exact same shot with the exact same inputs, the difference between a Dura and a Franklin is probably somewhere like 5-6%
mm-hmm.
distance, maybe. So if you're somebody who's at the lowest level or at, you know, probably up to like 4-0 level, you're naturally going to be hitting your shots with a lot of variation. And so maybe you just don't notice or account for the difference in ball, but definitely ends up being a big difference at the highest level. I think this ball is potentially going to change. The ball, I've always said, is going to be the way that you control Plural Pickleball and make it look the way that you want it to.
Yeah.
Right? I wonder if PPA took that into account. Like, okay,
no.
We're coming to this new...
No, it was the check.
It was the dollar bills.
It was the check.
We're using this new ball. How is this going to affect the way that this looks on TV? You know, that's the main thing for any of these pro tours is eventually, sure, we get sponsorships, we get all that stuff. None of that is going to even help these companies break even. All of this pro pickleball is eventually aimed at TV rights.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
None of this matters if there's not big TV contracts down the road.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they took into account, like, how does this affect the actual professional gameplay? Mm-hmm. Is it going to result in something that looks better on TV or worse on TV?
Right.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Well, moving forward, you kind of won a prestigious award, didn't you, Zane? The PB Studio Battle Awards, the most controversial spin paddle in the game. Fill us in.
Well, actually, this is the first that I'm hearing about it. You guys actually think that I watch the Pickleball Studio?
You got your paddle, you're set.
Do they still do their podcast?
Yeah.
Really?
Dude, don't insult them like that, okay? They're going to be hyping up they're going to do a little review of the Pickleball Box. We have to be nice.
We? I don't have anything to do with the Pickleball Box. That's your thing.
Want to be an ambassador?
I don't know what's in the Pickleball Box.
Do a live negotiation.
All right.
What would it cost to make Zane Navratil an ambassador of the Pickleball Box?
What do you want me to do?
Talk about it, incorporate it into your instructional videos, tweet about how much you love everything in the box.
Do I get I want a royalty on any Pickleball Box sold.
We'll give you a code.
Mm-mm. Overall royalty. PPA is getting 8% of the Vulcan ball.
No, we just talked about it. It's a terrible deal.
They can't be that bad if they agreed to it. I want a 3% royalty on any Pickleball Box sold.
What name all your pickleball ventures? Like, so you do the clinics, you kind of got like your own newsletter and media stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make a royalty on your paddles, or do you make a percentage on your paddles?
Yep.
So we'd figure out how to get, maybe you have like some sort of, maybe it's like some sort of, I don't know, flyer for your clinics or whatever.
Sure, there'd
included
be
included in the box.
It'd be that. It'd be all over the YouTube stuff, all over the newsletter, social media.
Mm-hmm.
I could just carry one on.
Yeah.
On
to yeah, the you know how like Riley always has a Takea? You just
yeah,
always
there we go.
Inconveniently have a pickleball box.
Yeah, we got to get a water bottle in there so that I can just pull that out and
drink
out of it.
Right.
So I am interested to see what's in the pickleball box at some point.
Okay, but yeah, so the Zane Navratil Pro XR paddle, most controversial spin paddle. I'm back to using it.
We're back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm all in on it again. I was playing with a Black Diamond for a moment. But I just like the power and spin. I can play so aggressively with that paddle. I'm hitting like 95% drives instead of thirds now. Seems to be working. Yeah. I mean, there's too many advantages.
Yeah. I mean,
I barely have to put any weight on it.
It allows you to swing very fast.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a pretty light paddle, and so if you swing pretty fast, you can still keep the ball in and grab the ball. So it's spinny, but there's also, there's a few of the technology pieces that we put in it was the way that we used the grit, which people thought was controversial. We've discussed that plenty of times on here. But also the other elements of it. It's a relatively soft paddle, which allows the ball to sink in, and it's very headlight. So you can really swing the paddle very fast. That, on top of the way that we did the texture, is what makes it so spinny.
Yeah.
So we'll take it, Chris Olson, Pickleball Studio, with their we'll take the compliment. We'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, with the Perseus, as we saw, I tend to send those drives like off the parking garage.
Over the fence at the Pickle Ranch.
But the Zane paddle allows me to keep those bad boys in. And no, this is not a paid endorsement.
What do you want for a paid endorsement then? We'll counter negotiate.
Yeah, we'll talk behind the scenes.
No, let's do it live. I think, I wonder why it's so controversial. Like, I mean, obviously, why are some paddles so controversial, but other paddles not as controversial?
Mm. I don't know, but I just got the Gearbox one that seems to, because I was texting Chris Olson, and I was like, so what's the deal with this thing? Like, give me the lowdown. And he just said, like, people who play against it are, like, there's a decent amount that are like, this is unfair. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to order one. Ordered one. It came yesterday, so I haven't tried it yet, but I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, definitely. It's just it's pretty insane paddle.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that they're going to make some new rules for that paddle.
Yeah. People are talking about it like when the Legacy came out, and I remember playing against Grant Bond with the Legacy and the drives he was hitting with that thing. I was just like, this is insane. Like, you cannot get these things.
I mean, Grant Bond just has a goat drive.
Yeah, maybe. But I played with him without that paddle, and not so
it wasn't as scary.
Yeah.
I mean, the gearbox hits like a delaminated Legacy.
Yeah.
So
I don't think people realize how much I've heard people say recently that, like, I don't care what paddle I play with. Like, it doesn't matter, right? I'm like, opposite. Like, I think if you go from, if you're a beginner and you're just kind of playing with whatever you found around the house, or your aunt or uncle just, like, gave you an extra paddle or something, and you haven't tested other paddles and tried out different things, you're leaving potential on the table. I think, like, certain paddles can improve your game immediately.
Yeah, and if you come in from a tennis background, like, and you come in and you use a super smooth paddle right away,
yeah,
you have to change your strokes. But mm-hmm. if you come in and use a controversial spin paddle like mine, then you can basically swing the same way.
Okay, so you know that, like, really, it's this really crazy, like, camo-colored Viking paddle?
Yeah, isn't that the one that Andre used to use?
I think he was using it, yeah. Now he uses, like, I can't remember what that brand is, but
he's got the Proton now.
So my dad and his buddies, when I go back to Michigan, I always play with them, and then my brothers as well. And they had this new guy had kind of joined the group, and now he's a good friend of ours, but he was playing with this Viking paddle. And I remember just looking at him like, dude, stop playing with that. Like, just use this, Yola paddle, use the Ben John, use a Franklin, like use something other than this paddle. He wouldn't do it. He liked playing with that. He was a Michigan State tennis player, played against Matt Wright, actually. Mm. Really tall, like, strong guy, can move really well. He's like Matt Wright's age, but he still has, like, the athleticism of, like, a 25-year-old.
Sure, so much more athleticism than Matt Wright.
Yeah. I was watching the clips of him playing college tennis the other day, by the way.
Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, they're hilarious. I love his necklace thing, right?
Yeah.
Like the surfer necklace-looking thing?
Yeah, right. But anyway, so I finally convinced this guy to change. So now he's using your paddle. Actually,
oh, let's go.
He's using the Connor Garnett version, so the purple one.
Oh, fuck this guy.
And no, his drive is insane now. Him going from that Viking paddle to the Pro XR is like night and day. Now I'm worried that he's going to take my spot as the best player in that group. So,
damn. You hate to see it.
Yeah. If you are just using whatever paddle somebody handed you, start testing different things. It'll change your game.
Yeah, I think if you want to do it right, you probably got to spend at least $150 on a paddle at this point.
Yeah.
I think anything pretty much, obviously you can make a very good paddle for less than $150, but nobody is selling good paddles for less than $150 right now, for the most part.
The only one is that Franklin Ben Johns, which I think was like $99 and might still be. They might have raised the price.
Yeah, but that's obsolete at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's better than what you had in your garage, but it's not current.
Right. Okay.
All well, right. How about Andre Deescu and shifting up the partner situation? You guys want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, he's out playing with Megan Fudge now.
This is for APPs, right?
Yeah.
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 Is that so what's the actual drama? Is there actual drama behind it, or did we just write down Team Fudge Bar drama?
I don't know. I think so he went from Susanna Barr to Megan Fudge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I heard there's just some beef there, but I really don't know anything about it. So we can probably move on from that.
I don't know the beef, but it'll be interesting. I mean, Megan's playing very well. Susanna, I think, is always underrated. Like, Susanna just gets results. I've enjoyed playing with Susanna, and we've always done pretty well. So that always leads to, like, some fun when you play that person again. You just want to kick their ass.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
All right. Well, next up is Alex Trong. Apparently, she has her own contract that allows her to play on APPs with a few others. You have anything to say about that, Zane?
I have plenty to say about that. I probably shouldn't talk about my contract. I know that there are different versions of contracts that allow some of these players to play APP. I think that that's looking like an enticing option for a lot of people, just given how everything is going.
I didn't know that. So I didn't know that certain players had provisions to play APP, but I guess it makes sense now that I'm thinking about it. So can you play APPs?
That is a...
ongoing?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
So. Do you know if players are playing APPs, can they play PPAs at all? I would assume
but if you're playing APPs, can you play PPA? The APP doesn't tell you that you can't play anywhere. So.
But it would, I would assume it's a PPA thing, right? Like, can Andre go play PPAs? I'm sure the PPA would want him to.
Probably, but they'll also probably put him in qualifying. I don't know how the...
That would be so dumb. But anyway, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. So let's just say Paris and Andre come over and they want to play a PPA and they have to play qualifying.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing any of their draws and stuff. I'm not quite sure. I don't know how it works with points. You know, certain people are going to be guaranteed to be in the main draw because they signed some contract or take a pay cut or something or another. I don't know at this point.
Mm.
There's just still so much riding on whether or not the merger happens, what things look like post-merger.
Yeah.
So
I heard it was off. Now it's on.
On, off, on, off, yeah.
What's
not even worth talking about at this point. It either happens or it won't.
Yeah.
So if it happens or not, what's the deal with the MLP draft? It seems like it got mixed up a little bit.
Yeah. So from what I understand, there's an auction format. And I think that the numbers are something like each team gets something like $500,000 fake dollars to bid on their draft spot. So let's say I want the number one draft spot. I bid 500,000 of these fake dollars to get it. But then I have zero more dollars to make any other pick,
mm-hmm.
right? I also heard that there's, on top of that, if you want to spend more, you can spend up to 500,000 real dollars.
Yeah.
So if you want the first pick, theoretically, you might have to pay 500,000 fake dollars, 500,000 real dollars to secure the first pick. And so it's an auction. They auction off the first pick, and then they auction off the second pick, third pick, fourth pick. So, you know, if things go according to plan, you could have some teams that have potentially four third-round picks.
Right.
Or a first-round pick and three fourth-round picks, or two second and two thirds. It's very, very different from before, and I kind of like it. I think it adds... I always like where you can add more strategy to whatever it is you're doing. I like it when they combined the draft pools where you can select a male or a female in any draft spot. But what do you think, Tommy?
I don't know. I was going to ask you, what do you think is the best outcome if you were to, you know, play your auction cards right? Would one first round and then three fourth rounds be the best scenario? Would it be what if you had you were able to get all your picks in the low second round, right? Four picks, low second round. Is that the winning formula?
Well,
one pick in every round?
I don't know, because you also don't know who you're going to get.
Right.
So all the draft spots, from what I understand, are auctioned off, and then the draft actually happens.
Right.
So you pick your four pick numbers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, if you've got the eighth pick, you don't know who you're going to be able to get with the eighth pick.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it adds a lot more strategy to this, of course. But strategy is good.
Do you think you're still projected in the third round?
I think third round is probably a fair...
Even after your results?
I think people... I think people emphasize Major League Pickleball results too much.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, it's at least the recency of it, right? So I think it's hard to say what round, because generally there's a emphasis on picking females early, which sort of artificially pushes men into the later rounds, right? So you could theoretically, you could be the first male picked, but be a third round pick if they pick 24 women first. Does that make sense? It wouldn't happen, but I think in the previous drafts, it was probably something like 2/3 of the first two rounds were women, and then the men fill out the third and fourth rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's better to rank players not of what round pick they are, but where they are relative to other men or women.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, if I'm drafting myself, I'm probably taking myself somewhere between 10 and 15th male picked, which could be anywhere between probably very late second round to very early fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that's probably a third round pick is where I would pick myself if I had to summarize that. What about you? Where are you picking me? And where are you picking yourself?
Where am I picking myself?
Yeah.
Right before Eric Lang.
Damn.
Roasted. Sorry, Eric. I told you I wouldn't bring that up anymore. Where would I draft you? I would draft you probably late second round. But it depends. I mean, even trying to think through it now, it's like, who knows who's out? Who knows who's out there?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder if you have to think about how the other team's picks are staggered, right? Like, I don't know. I think there's just too much variability. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to sort of call. But you put on here, who else do you think has who do you think has their stock going up and whose stock is going down?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just steal these from, I don't know who wrote these on our team, but they look smart. So moving up, Kyle Motos, Rohrbacher, Alshon, and Tyra. But I don't know. Tyra was already, she's already been pretty high. But yeah, Alshon, I think, is going to be way higher. He's starting to kind of emerge as just like a top men's player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll have one of the biggest years of the men in 2024.
I can see that. So we get the Kyle Motos on there as stock up. Yeah. But why? Why is their stock up?
I don't know, man. I didn't write this.
Well, that's the thing. So the Kyle Motos were the same players before and after Major League Pickleball, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. Their stock was down for the last pick. They went like second and third round. I think Jackie went, they were like late picks. They went way too late to DC because they were on like ATX last in the beginning. Their stock was down too far because they didn't do well enough in MLP. Now their stock is up because they did really well, but they're more or less the same players that they were before. Obviously they're getting better. Everybody's getting better. I think that's an example of like, people putting the recency of MLP, putting too much weight in that.
Yeah.
Now, there are some players who I think genuinely do perform a little bit better in an MLP sort of format, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think I perform better at MLP because I can be unpredictable. I think I'm good at strategizing, and I think I'm, I can fit in with whatever guy I play with, and I can play spastic mixed. So I think I'm slightly better in MLP, but I still think that people sort of put too much emphasis on the results there. Like whoever wrote this has James and Dylan as their stock down.
I don't see James's stock being down whatsoever.
I don't think so either. I think his stock I think he should probably be a first round pick again at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same with Dylan. But you'd think that because I think this is probably just an example of putting too much emphasis on MLP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did write that? We got to fire him. Was JB?
Yeah, probably JB.
Unbelievable, JB.
It's okay. You got some new hires in the house now.
Yeah, there we go. Jamie is coming for everybody's jobs.
Well, coming up in Palm Springs, there's going to be a few new changes to the service rules, it appears. Don Stanley and I did a nice little release saying the serve is going to be less of a weapon. So what do you think about the new serve rules?
I'll let you go first, Tommy.
Well, I think we just need to read through this. It's essentially a provisional rule. If they like the results of the rule after they analyze the results, they will implement it permanently. So permanently. So here is the I'll just read this, right? So and this is from Don Stanley, who's the director of officiating for the PPA Tour. At the prompting of the Pro Player Council, PPA will be beta testing a new service rule for the Pro and Senior Open brackets. The Palm Springs Tournament, Jan 9 to 14, will be used as a test basis for the new service rule. After the tournament has concluded, the results will be reviewed for implementation, revisions, or possible deletion. The driving force behind this rule changes to make the serve less of a weapon. So here's the new rule. On the serve, one, the ball must be released with the non-paddle hand. I think that was already the case. Two, no spin can be imparted on a ball at the time of the release. I was also under the assumption that that was already a rule. And three, the release of the ball must be downward and below the top of the hip. So, can you see? I mean, to me, it's sort of awkward. I mean, a lot of people kind of hold it up here and just sort of like toss it up. It's not really, nobody really pays attention to what happens here. But you're basically like, you have to drop it from here and then serve, which is interesting. I don't know. What do you think? It doesn't seem like that much of a change to me.
It definitely changes the enforcement of it. Now you just have to see. So I'm assuming this is the entirety of the service rule.
Yeah.
So in that case, you could theoretically be swinging downwards at it. I'm assuming that this is replacing any of the other stuff, right? Like you need to be swinging upwards at the point of contact.
Mm.
The top of your wrist needs to be below the level of the paddle, or the paddle needs to be below the level of the wrist. I'm assuming this is the entirety of this rule. So honestly, this rule is just, let's use the drop serve, but we're too cool for the drop serve.
Yeah.
That's the entirety of this rule. It's awkward. We'll get used to it. It's not that big of a deal. I think the biggest thing here, again, is the wording. The driving force behind this rule change is to make the serve less of a weapon. Again, why? Everything else is a weapon. Our paddles are weapons. We're juicing this game up with super poppy paddles, super spinny paddles, yet we want our grandma to serve for us, right? Why don't we just have somebody toss the ball in for us to start the point if that's really what the serve is all about?
Why are we making the serve less of a weapon if it's not a weapon right now? Is it a weapon right now? I mean,
kind
does
of?
Anybody have a serve that really moves the needle?
I mean, Deckel's got a good serve. Tyson's got a good serve. James has a good serve. But it's not like they're winning crazy amount of points because of it.
Because of that, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've got a good serve. It's a weapon. These guys miss more serves than anybody, too.
Right.
Like, I think that it's dumb to continue to try and make the serve less of a weapon.
I am thinking about, like, Deckel's serve, how he sort of drops it, and then he rises up to the very, like, tippy toe, and then makes contact, and he's able to serve the ball really high. This would, I think, prevent serves like his.
Yeah, it basically means it prevents you from serving from your belly button, and it moves the contact point down to the hip. It makes it slightly easier to see and judge, but also you don't know where my hip is when this happens.
Yeah, but if you drop from the hip, then you know it's going to be below the hip. But again, to your point, it's difficult to determine like where somebody's hip is.
Yeah, and also, you know, you move the ball, you toss.
Because isn't the hip like? I mean, it's debatably, it's like this, right? Like it's a whole. There's no like one. You know, I don't know what it's going to be.
It's still going to be so difficult to enforce because players are moving a little bit while they're doing this. They might start the ball by their hip. Push their arm out in front of them, and then is the ball still by their hip? Like, generally people come upwards a little bit as they're releasing the ball because you squat below the serve. So again, I kind of see the intent there of maybe making it a little bit easier to enforce if somebody's serving from their nipples.
Yeah.
But I think again, just use the drop serve. The drop serve solves that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. But the drop serve looks so dumb.
Sure, but you should see us hitting this serve. It looks dumb too.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is going to be black and white, right? Like there's no reserves if it's questionable.
Yeah.
If they think it's illegal, you're getting called and it's fault. There's going to be some discrepancies. Yeah.
It's going to be funny looking. Again, it just needs to be the use the drop serve. And yeah, I'm sick of the, you know what? I was just watching a video the other day. You ever heard of real tennis?
No.
It's the origin of all racket sports. It is played in this place in like a French kingdom, and there's like 20 courts across the country, and it's like, it's bizarre. It's got walls, it's got windows, it's got a million lines on the court. Look up real tennis and you'll see what I'm talking about. But the reason why we call serves originates from this. There used to be in real tennis, and this is in like the whatever 1200s or something crazy, they used to have a servant come onto this court and serve the ball for the king. And that's how they started the points. And that's where the term serve came from. So why don't we just have the referee serve the ball for us if we don't want it to be a weapon?
Hmm. I like that history lesson. Jamie clipped that. I had no idea.
That's pretty crazy.
Yep. I saw that on a YouTube video, so that could be incorrect, but the guy really had said it with some conviction, so I felt like it was good.
Well, coming up in 24, there's going to be quite a few new pairings as well. Jack Sock calling Schick, Sock and Parento, Tyson and Deckel, and obviously Fudge and Dayescu again. Where do we see those going?
Oh, well, also Jay Devilliers and Pat Smith are back together.
Oh, the dream yes. team.
I think they complement each other really well. And I like both of them. I like watching them play together. Reminds me of the good old days.
That means me and Althoff got to run it back.
Yeah, do it. Althoff still got the game.
What do you think of Jack and Colin?
It's so random.
Well, they play together in North Carolina. That's why.
Right.
They're boys.
They train together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that they'll... I don't think they'll do very well, but I think... I'm just excited to see Jack Sock play. Actually get some true reps in. Actually get some good competition in and see how he improves this year. It'll be really interesting.
Do you think people are going to figure him out?
Probably. I mean, part of the reason he had a successful outcome when he played with Anna Lee was like he was playing in this unorthodox way. People hadn't had a lot of time to study his game and figure out his nuances, figure out his weaknesses. So there's always that period when somebody bursts onto the scene where people just don't know his game and they benefit from that. So yeah, there's definitely going to be a degree of figuring him out, but he's also going to figure things out, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to improve. He's going to get better. He's going to learn more of the nuances of the game. So what's the net effect? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know how many tournaments he's going to play. Like, is he going to be one of the people that's grinding 24 PPAs?
Right.
I don't know. But, I mean, obviously he's going to get a lot better. Like, his normal group in North Carolina, from what I understand, is, like, Colin, Jack, my boy Eric Roddy, and, let's see. I think there's one other that I'm forgetting. But,
Where's
Garnett?
Yeah, where does he play?
He's out. He's in SoCal.
He's SoCal. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of surprised that maybe Jack's testing it out with Colin. Like, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if somebody else wants to play with Jack. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if any of these tennis players how much they're really going to grind.
Yeah,
I think Tyson and Deckel will be an interesting combo. I like that.
They'll be fine. They'll probably get a result here and there. Tyson just churns through the partners, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dylan Frazier, why do you think that is?
He just, I don't know, he's always good for him. He's always got pick of the litter. But
yeah, that brings us up to Tyson's new paddle contract.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing your job for you, Jamie.
All good. You led into that perfectly.
All right, what do you think he got? What do you think he got paid? Like, what do you think that deal is worth on a yearly basis?
I'd be hard-pressed to imagine it's anything less than probably half a mil.
Half?
Yes, I'd say conservatively he's got to be in one way or another making probably $500,000 per year from his paddle deal.
Okay. That's a conservative estimate. Interesting. I don't know. It depends on, I mean, I think it depends on the brand and how they value the player, right? It's kind of subjective. I remember when Riley was shopping around, and he is again because Takea is moving away from paddles. He was trying to get, I remember this was probably only like 2 years ago. When did he switch from Gamma to Takea? Do we know?
That's probably not even
Gamma to Takea.
Probably wasn't even a year ago.
Right. Maybe it was when he was going from Selkirk to Gamma. But I just remember it was like reported he was looking for like a $200,000 to $300,000 contract. And I remember thinking like, no way he's going to get that. That's so high. But now that seems pretty reasonable.
Given the numbers that we've heard compared to, I mean, just given the other numbers we've heard, sure, reasonable. Yeah. To swing a pickleball paddle, if you take a step out, it's kind of crazy. And I think it's because we're in a spot of, it's so easy to come into the market. All these paddles are, you know, the worst paddle, from the worst paddle to the best paddle, it's probably a 30% better, right? So you're fighting over, the paddles are pretty similar, and it's just how are you going to market them? Marketing is the biggest part of a successful pickleball brand, and when there's anybody can come into it quickly, you have to have that one player to give you validity.
Yeah.
Right? In tennis, you have like 7 or 8 legit tennis rackets. They each pay a handful of players. They give a bunch of players free stuff. Pickleball contracts, a lot of them are much better than tennis racket contracts.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Right.
But it's hard to come into tennis with some new stuff and just totally disrupt the industry. So they can't, it's hard for them to pick off some, to create something that a tennis player is going to use and want to represent.
Right. Yeah. Well, going back to the Vulcan thing, like we didn't really talk about this. We were sort of like, well, how do you break even on the balls if you're paying this $2.5 million to the PPA? Well, I'm sure part of it was if we're the main ball of the PPA, it brings validity to the entirety of the brand. It raises the brand value. That helps paddles sell better and everything else that they're doing. So I'm sure that was part of the consideration. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that means AJ Kohler too then is also going to be, in addition to Riley and Lindsay, with Takea moving away from paddles. So now AJ Kohler too, they're all going to be looking for a new paddle sponsor.
Yeah, that was sort of a strange thing to begin with, like the Takea going from water bottles, which they must have crushed it with the water bottles to really be like, hey, you know, pickleball is right. The thing. I'd be very curious to know what happened there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they see what a lot of these other brands see, and there's a new brand every single day. It's insanely saturated. You have to have other ways to market your paddle besides the Pro Tour,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, again, you're just marketing to a small segment of pickleballers who actually play pro pickleball. And they all have their own desires, understanding of the game. You know, they're in it. They know what the new paddles are. They want to try different things. They're avid pickleball players. They're pickleball junkies, right? So you're battling every other – anytime a brand releases a new paddle that makes a little bit of noise, like – that eats at your market share. It's a tough game to play, and everybody can manufacture a decent paddle. Yeah, we get emails all the time from manufacturers who they send us literally these brands' paddles. They say, we can manufacture, and they send us the exact paddle, just the logo's removed, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we know who manufactures a lot of these paddles. I'm sure Takea saw how easy it was. You know, they already had the brand. They have the access to the players. You know, let's just try our hand at it and see if it works. I quickly realized it's a tough game to play. And if you don't have other avenues, like Franklin, again, you know, they're able to market through all these retailers. They're able to go after pro shops. They're able to do Amazon. Yola's spending in all sorts of places. Selkirk has money to burn, right? Like, can you play that game?
Mm-hmm. I think 24 is going to be the year of paddle consolidation.
Attrition. Yeah, a lot of brands will maybe close the shutters. We'll see. But we'll definitely see more paddle brands, too. We'll see more brands.
Oh, yeah. That's not stopping. All right.
Let's see.
What is the Dink Awards?
Okay, so the Dink Awards, so this is the third year we've done this, right? So it's the People's Choice Awards of pickleball, right? So fans vote on things like Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, like Best Content Creator. Certain categories will have grants. Last year, I think the Best Content Creator won $2,000. Who won that? I think Chris Olsen did, I believe.
Must have been rigged.
Best on-air personality, all sorts of different categories. And basically, it's a chance for the fans to vote. And anybody who votes, you also enter for a giveaway paddle of your choice. But it's basically, you know, we put the power in the hands of the fans to decide who wins these awards.
We should do our live votes on the next pod.
Yeah, like who we are picks.
Yeah, we'll go through the list of things. I kind of remember that from last year. And you've done it for 2 years, right? You said this is the third year?
This is our third year, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've liked that.
Yeah. Last year we got USA Pickleball, PPA, APP, MLP, and I feel like one of the brands. Well, all the major organizations to work together on a single thing, and they never do that.
Wow.
This year, I don't know if we'll get everybody back involved, but
yeah.
Yeah, so.
I won't say it. Who's not going to play? Who's not going to want to be a part of something like this?
<I don't know.
laughs> Big Pickle got to him. Unreal.
I hope everybody will be a part of it. Mm-hmm. There were some funny comments on our last episode, though. Someone was like, Thomas 100% gets paid to say certain things. Like, I don't remember what the whole comment was. Like, yeah, you got me.
Well, guys, if anybody wants me to pay or to say stuff on this podcast, shoot me a DM. It can be bought.
I can be bought.
Yeah, we can both be bought.
Yeah, listen. To that commenter.
Everybody's got a price.
To that commenter, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I can be bought. I'm not bought. So you can't accuse me of that. But, yeah, no, I'm willing. Write me the check. Say what you want. All right. Is that all you're wearing, your Viori?
Yes, this is a Viori Quick Trip sweatshirt. I am wearing my Viori pants. I am wearing a Viori shirt underneath. There. Somewhere. See, Viori? Oh, you can't see. See, I swear. I promise.
I need to re-up on my Viori. I don't know if they came out with any new stuff. I need some new colors. I need to switch it up. But you guys know we're massive fans of Viori. We always have been. We're lucky to have them work with us on the show, but we would be wearing this stuff either way. And you can get 20% off your first purchase and enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. Go to viori.com/thedink and discover the versatility of Viori clothing. That was a good ad. Good for us.
Well done.
All right. Anything else we got? Jamie?
Got nothing.
All good here?
Okay. All right. That's
we'll
Pickle Pod.
We'll keep him for another round. Pickle Pod.
See you next week.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, Dollar has fun. I